You. If you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, take your outline out this morning. John chapter 1 and your outline out, please. Does everyone have the right to hear? That's the question that I want us to consider today. We call the Bible God's Word. I think sometimes we kind of lose sight of what that thought is, what that word means, God's Word. And we all know how important words are. We love it when our children, our grandchildren begin to formulate words. We are taught early in school, even at home, how to write words and speak words. We communicate by words. Last week, all week actually, well over 600 of us were texted words of what to pray about. Words are vehicles. They carry with them knowledge. They carry ideas and concepts. Beliefs, truths, they carry destruction. Words can build up or they can tear down. They inform, they conform, sometimes deform, but they always have effects. We call the Bible God's written word, but Jesus is as well called the Word. He is the living Word. His life itself spoke. It was an expression of God, and as much as he spoke in words, he as well spoke by his very life. His teachings revolutionized the world. His words carried compassion for the broken, healing for the sick, forgiveness for the sinful, respect for women, a rebuke for the prideful. His life, the living word, expressed God to our world. The Apostle Peter wrote that we are born again through the word of God. The Apostle Paul said that we are cleansed and we are spiritually washed through the Word of God. The Apostle James said the Word of God is like a mirror that we look at and we see who we really, really are on the inside. The writer of Hebrews said the Word of God is living and active, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, our joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. The Apostle John wrote of how he actually spent time with the living Word, that he listened to Jesus, he saw Jesus, he reached out and touched Jesus, and it was this that he wanted the world to know. The Word, the living Word, and John was writing it in the written Word. We heard an amazing 5 minutes with David Plake last week of what God is doing through One Hope, used to be the Book of Hope, now One Hope Ministry out of Florida. And really the point of it all was that the living Word of God in Jesus would be found through the written Word of God, through His Word, and taken out to billions of people. And we saw staggering statistics. It was amazing what God is doing through that ministry alone. And my question again is, does everyone have a right then to hear the Word? Just before the world saw and heard Jesus, they heard another man. And if you have your Bibles open or your hand held there, if you'd look with me, John chapter 1, verse 1. Many of us here know it well. It's one of the most powerful passages in all of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. What a picture. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So we have here John the disciple, the apostle, introducing John the witness within just a few short verses of him telling the story of Jesus. And immediately he takes extra care that on the very offset here that we recognize that this John is not the light, that he only came to bear witness to the light. And within a few verses after introducing Jesus further, he brings John back into the narrative here. If you look at verse number 19. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist was such a unique figure in the written word. He is the son of a priest. His birth was miraculous, not only because he was born to an elderly couple, but because of the way that God announced it to his father Zechariah, who was at that point in the literal temple, and he was giving his 1 week of duty as his lot had fallen upon him to do. And an angel of the Lord came and announced that he and his wife would have a son, and he was to name him John. John was assigned not only his name, but he was set apart from birth by God. He was given a very unique assignment by God. He was the fulfillment of what the prophet had written 700 years before. He was that voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." So John was the forerunner. In essence, he was the message before the message. Jesus would later say that there was not a man born of woman better and greater than John. That's a big statement for a Jewish rabbi to make, because after all, we have Moses and Abraham and David and all of the prophets. But no, Jesus said there's none greater than John the Baptist. And his death, it was a strange personal vendetta carried out by a political family there as Rome was in control of all of Judea and all of Israel. And he, the greatest man ever to be born of a woman, according to Jesus, was beheaded due to an adulterous relationship between this key political family. But John's a powerful picture for us today. And his life speaks to very closely to us, and yet it's easily overlooked sometimes, maybe conveniently overlooked. But John was called in the same way that we are called today. Both calls come from heaven. And if you receive a call from heaven in your life, then it is a call you have to realize that comes from the very portals of glory. It comes from all of eternity. It comes from a God who was and is to come. And that God calls you in the very same way that he called a man named John. I like the way that John the Apostle introduces him that way. "Now there came a man from God whose name was John." And each one of us here, if we're a follower of Christ, we too share a calling. If you think him fulfilling a 700-year prophecy is impressive, you have to realize what we're about to read in just a moment, that the Bible says that God knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and he had things prepared for you long before you ever came into being. We lose sight of that sometimes in just the normalcy of everyday life and living, earning a living, the busyness of family and friendships. But God knew each and every one of us before we were in our mother's womb. He created us, formed us, infused into us our talents, our giftings, our personalities, our eye color. Whether we'll be a Bama fan or the fan of the rest of sports, could hear any man this morning. That none of us are by accident any more than John the Baptist could be. No, we all are miraculously formed by God, created by God with purpose as John was. And we carry a call the way John carried a call. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." For, preposition. For, keep reading. "We are his workmanship, created by God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We have a call, a destiny, every one of us here. If we are in Christ, there's something God wants us to do. And so another good question today might be this: are we doing what we want to do with our lives, or what God not only wants, but what he predestined for us to do with our lives? That's a huge question. It's interesting, they came to Jesus, or to John, asking him, "Who are you?" And John had an instant reply because he knew. I think maybe sometimes that's our problem, that we don't emphasize enough, that we don't talk enough to one another, that maybe it's my fault. Maybe as a pastoral staff and as a teachers in our various classes here and our small group ministries, that we don't emphasize enough who you are, who we are as the body of Christ. Maybe we need to underscore it more. Maybe we need to make sure that we understand, rehashing, retelling, celebrating, believing, that if we are a follower of Christ, then we are very, very unique, special people to God. And that every one of us here, uniquely gifted. You might be quiet. And you say, I just hate to even get up in front of people. It makes me go through all kinds of things internally when I know I have to stand. Even in front of as few as 10 people, I just can't do that. You might just be out there. I mean, you enter the room and everybody knows you're there. Either way, as long as you're who God made you to be, that's what matters. Because God crafted you. And you are his workmanship to do things he prepared long in advance for you to do. John knew who he was. He said it, verse 23, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. John is a great picture for us in that he knew something about himself that's true of every single one of us here today. We learn from John. The first truth is this, that we each have a voice. See, the world doesn't need John today. He's had his time. He's had his moment in history. And your voice is as unique to John's as it is to mine or anyone else in this room this morning. And every single one of you here, you have a voice. Billy Graham has had a voice now for over half a century, and we're so thankful that we've heard his voice. If we begin to hear it just in the audio version right now, probably every one of us here would exactly know who that voice is. But I'm telling you today, God has given you a voice that he wants to use in the same way he used Billy Graham's voice. Don't look to others to speak. Don't think that you don't have anything to say. If you are created in Christ Jesus, you have a voice. You say, well, where? Well, go where God places you to go, just like John. John's was out in the desert. It was out in the wilderness. I can still picture when Pastor Mike and myself and our team were there with Mark Turnage and just a few months ago, and Mark was pointing and explaining that many times in the New Testament, as we read through the Gospels, that word desert or wilderness, really what it means is uninhabited places. And so it might not be so much a barren wasteland. It might be a very lush, beautiful land, but it's uninhabited. That's what that means. And John was out in that kind of a region so often, lifting up his voice in the wilderness. And we have our wilderness. You know what I mean. There's someone here that owns a shop, and anytime I need work in my car, I feel so trusted to go to him and that he's going to handle it well. But you know, I realized and I reflected upon that shop this week, and I thought, right there in that wilderness of Springfield where I go to get my car worked on, there is to be a beacon of light, and there's to be a voice raised up in that community. When I sit over lunch, I often will ask the question, well, what do you do, or what have you done through the years in your life? Why? Because I like to hear the story of people. But within that story is housed a voice that was to be lifted up or is being lifted up in that wilderness that they live in, that they work in. When we sing the last song and pray the last prayer and walk out of this building this morning, and as we do it week after week, we realize the church leaves the building. Kind of like Elvis has left the building, you know what I'm saying? We leave the building. Now, there's a structure, there's an edifice here. There's something that marks this corner in Springfield, Missouri, but you realize the church leaves the building every single week. And as we leave, as salt and light, where we live, name your address, name your street, name your major cross streets, name where you work, picture it in your mind, find yourself there, and know who you are and what you are to be there. You are to be a voice. And I'd ask you again, does everyone have a right to hear? See, there are so many voices today, aren't there? Think of who gets Most of the press coverage and the airtime. Think of the voices in our schools and our businesses, our universities, in the marketplace today. We need to stop trying to compete with all of those voices and just be the one voice that God wants us to be in our world. Honestly, the world doesn't need another voice to speak to them about politics, to speak to them about economics or spiritual things or philosophy, whatever it might be. Our world desperately needs spirit-filled people telling them what God has to say to them. And yes, he's concerned about their marriages or their singleness. And yes, he's concerned that they eat. That matters to God. And yes, he's concerned that immorality is destroying the very fabric of our culture. He's concerned, but more than anything else, he is concerned that they have an eternal soul that will live in either heaven or hell forever and ever. He is concerned of their eternal destiny more than anything else. And so I'd ask you today, does everyone have a right to hear? When they asked John, "Who are you?" they were basically giving him permission to explain himself. Why? Because his voice was making waves. And John didn't just have a voice, but he had a message. And it was initially that I'm not your guy. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah that's come back again. I'm not who you've been looking for, religious people. I'm not your healer. I'm not your savior. I'm not your deliverer. But I am the one who came as a voice to let you know that he is soon to come. And he will be your healer, and he will be your savior, and he will be your deliverer. And so many people were hungry for this, that they were coming to John. They're amazing, just in the droves coming to be baptized in water because they wanted life change. They wanted a reformation in Israel. They were looking for a deliverer. They wanted things to turn around in their nation. And so John lifted up his voice, like we need to lift up our voices. Second thing John helps us see is that we have a message, and our message is so important. Honestly, hear me, there's not another more important message in all the world than what's contained in this very room this morning, in the hearts of every single one of us here that's a follower of Christ. We have the message. And what would happen if all of us here today shared that message? What would happen if we were so bold about it as we are with so many things in our lives? Shamefully, I reflected on it this week and I thought, you know, I probably in a personal way have told more people about my favorite restaurants in Springfield since moving here a few years ago than I have in a personal way told people about Jesus Christ. I probably told more people about my sports teams, which is not Alabama. And you know who they are, because I use them as illustrations way too often, my wife tells me. But I probably told more people about the Cubs and the Bears and the Bulls and the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals and the Suns than I have about Jesus personally in the last few years. How about you? How about you? Imagine if each one of us here today, with our own unique voice in our own unique wilderness, lifted up our voice with the message that's the most important message in the world to at least just say one person a week for the next year. All of us here, no exceptions. What might happen? Because I'm telling you today, we have the message. There's one message that they need to hear. And that's where it all lies, right there. I love our National Youth Department. Actually, really, it's our whole National Resource Center that has put out this new, rolling out this new message, and this is it, and it hinges on this concept that everybody has the right to hear about Jesus. Just a fundamental right. They've called it the human right. Based on John 1:12, that to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, say it with me, he gave the right to become children of God. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. And we can celebrate that today. And I realize today that I have to clarify something, that it is only by the incredible, incomparable, matchless grace of God that anyone is saved, period. We just read that. God doesn't owe mankind anything. God doesn't owe us salvation. It is not our right to be saved in that sense. It is only by grace that we are saved, but it is that grace that compels us then to use our voices and to speak up with his message. And when you really stop to think about it today, doesn't it just seem right? Is there any way that we could feel otherwise today that the single greatest injustice in our world is that there are people that are born and will die and will never hear the message of Jesus Christ? Doesn't that seem unjust to us as we celebrate communion today? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Picture Jesus standing there in the dark of the night, Nicodemus asking him questions, and he says to him, Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Next verse, don't forget it. For Nicodemus, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. We often kind of glean there, don't we? Condemnation. That's what Jesus came to bring. He did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I command you. And lo, I will be with you always to the very end of the world. There's not a greater message and there's not a greater mandate in all the world. But there is a hinge, and this is in the human right. Romans 10 captures that better than any other text in Scripture. For there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that a great verse? How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? So they first have to believe to call. And then how will they believe in him in whom they've never heard? So they first have to hear in order to believe on him so that they can call out to him to be saved. And then he says, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? And don't get lost in that word preaching. All that means is to tell somebody something. All it means is to proclaim something, announce it. It's something we're all called to do. See, we read Romans 10, and we come to that verse, and I know what your mind goes to immediately. You're thinking missionaries. You're thinking pastors. You're thinking evangelists. You're thinking apostolic ministry. You're thinking those that go forward, and they preach. But the truth is, every one of us are in our wildernesses, and we just simply need to tell the good news of Jesus to those in our wilderness. And again, I'd ask you, don't you think everyone has a right to hear? The third thing John teaches us is that we have a mission. Each and every one of us here has a mission. And this has to become our mission, personally, every one of us here. And if it's not our mission, then really we're not the church. And if it's not our mission as Central Assembly today, we're really not a church. Because in essence, we could become then a lot of things if this isn't our highest ambition. We could be a social club, a community improvement group. We could be an activist group. We could be groupies for Pastor Tom and his worship team. We could be a building full of lecture halls. But we're not. We are the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he will build his church. The question is, when is he done building it? At what point is it over? At what point are there enough that have come in? At what point can we say, enough have heard? I'm in, my family's in, my friends are in, the church is in, that I know, the people I love are in, so we're done. We all remember what it felt like. Remember Games Locked? Man, I hated that as a kid. It just always didn't feel right. Felt so inhumane, didn't it? Even as a little third and fourth grader, you know, Games Locked, and you'd watch that kid walk away. And I was at times in that circle and didn't speak up, shamefully enough. But I remember watching and the expression, and you know the damage it's done. And now we have so much talk about bullying today. I'm telling you, we've been bullying a long time, haven't we, Ben? But you know that sense of just not being in, that we don't need you, we don't want you, that you're not valuable. Hear me, friends. Everyone hasn't heard the greatest message that's ever been told. And our message is this, that all have sinned. Every one of us in this room today, we've all sinned. More than we could count, more than we want to rehearse. But that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he carried our sins and our sorrows and our weaknesses and that bent that's within every one of us, that something's not quite right, that we're maimed in some way emotionally and spiritually and in every dimension of our life until Jesus comes into our life, and that by believing in his name and that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved from all of that. Our past, it's gone. Our shame is covered. Our condemnation, there is none. Our healing is provided for. Our relationships are made right. Our way of life is better than any code or creed or manifesto the world has ever seen. And our worth, our value, our identity is rediscovered when we come to know Jesus. It's something education can't do. It's something money can't do. It's something possessions can't fulfill. It's something the American ideal cannot mend. It's something only Jesus Christ can do. And it's our message and it's our mission that everyone here, that everyone has the opportunity to experience what we experience, that everyone has a chance. As I am expected, matter of fact, this morning, just pictured it at the table here, that in a few weeks I'll be in Myanmar. And I realize in that class that I'm going to teach over those 6 days that I want to begin day number one within the first few minutes after we get to know one another. You know what I want to do? I want to have communion with my students, because that'll just bring us all down where we belong, right at the foot of the cross. Amen. Don't you want everyone to know what we know? See, the world is an ominous phrase that becomes so dangerous for us, the world. We welcomed the world here to the centennial. The news even caught wind of it. And there was a lot of discussion around Springfield about the world coming here. And what did that mean? Well, the world came and then the world went back to the world, see? But that's not true. Quite honestly, when I moved to Springfield a few years ago, I was shocked to find out that it just seemed in this Midwestern city that we are, that a church on virtually every street corner, that there was a lot of lostness in Springfield. I don't know what I thought. I thought by now you would have won everyone. I was shocked that we're like the meth capital, that 417 is, or 417 is well known, rather, out in California. I was shocked at that. I was surprised at the sense of humanity. Dark humanity right here where I went to school, next to headquarters. It surprised me. You know why? Because we forget what the wilderness is all about. We forget what the world really is. You ever met a lost person in Springfield? See, many times that lost person's the best neighbor you'll ever have, better than some Christ followers. That lost person, someone you work with, they are the best person you've ever met. You'd love to be with them. They're so easy. Their heart just seems so good and so right, but you realize they're lost. You know they do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they may believe some really way out things and watch just crazy stuff on television and talk to you about it, and they literally, they believe that way, and your heart just breaks because you think, this is the best person on the planet Earth, and yet you know that they are lost without Christ. See, God has given each one of us a voice, a message, and a mission. And if you would, if you take your outline out, we have 3 areas that I just want to encourage you to respond on today. And then I want you to be thinking with me of 5 people that you know that as far as your knowledge, they do not have a personal relationship with Christ. 5 people. And I want you to begin to think about that. But I want to ask you if you take out your outline. And on the backside, by the way, are the objectives of the human right. And don't read it right now, but I'd encourage you to take it home. And this is out of our youth department and out of our National Resource Center. And this is a movement that they're beginning that is so good. Thousands of people have already joined this. But I want to invite Central Assembly today to 3 things. Number one, to agree with the premise. Do you agree with the premise today? That everybody should have the right to hear about Jesus. That everybody should. If you agree with that, just go ahead and just check that off, saying, yeah, I'm there. And if you don't, I encourage you to take it home and pray about it and maybe read the backside and meditate on that a little bit and let this message sit in your heart a little bit today. But do you believe in that human right? The second thing is, will you accept the mission? And the mission is your voice with his message, just what John did. John used his voice, but he brought God's message to this earth. You and I have the same calling today that John did. Would you accept the mission today? Third thing is what a lot of us did a week ago Sunday night. We quickly grabbed our cell phones, and as they introduced this at JQH Arena, we texted that number, or that word rather, voice, to that number, 67463. And would you join this movement that I believe is going to become millions of people saying, I believe in the human right that everyone should know about Jesus. Because he says that if they believe in him and they put their trust and faith in him, that he will give them the right to become his children. His children. And then would you join me, as it was so easy for me to come up with the first three was just boom, boom, boom. And already one in my mind that I've been praying for and thinking about. And already another that I've been praying for and thinking about just recently. New people that I've met that I know I can write in these lines. And you know what? I bet you anything, hardly any of you here will ever find them in your wilderness. But they're in my wilderness. They're my responsibility. And I won't venture into yours probably, and you probably won't venture into mine much, to know these people that'll be on my list. Imagine if every one of us here fill out the five and begin to pray and begin to say, God, I believe that they have the right to hear about you. Think of the thousands of people that just we could reach, Central Assembly. And then imagine as it spreads, huh, around our nation. Do you see the human need in America? Absolutely. We're a mission field like never before. Friends, the world is right here and there. And as we send money to Cuba and we give money to One Hope, we need to give our hearts to Springfield, Missouri. We need to give our voice to where we live, our wilderness. Let us fulfill the call that God's called us to. Would you bow your heads with me today? Close your eyes with me if you would. If you've already begun to write some names down, please do. If not, would you take a moment and just begin to pray? You may want to slip out from where you're at and go ahead and just make this an altar experience right now. Go ahead and do it if you want to. You may feel such a burden in your heart for someone in your neighborhood or a co-worker of yours that you just want to come down and kneel on their behalf today. Go ahead and just say, excuse me, and spring across those knees in front of you and come down and kneel and begin to seek God for this community, to seek God for those that are lost, to believe that much in the human right. It's going to take our hearts changing. It's going to take God getting a hold of us that we might reach out to those around us for this human right today. God, lay the burden on every one of our hearts, I pray. God, lay the burden for five. Lay the burden for five. And oh God, may we pray and may we seek you and may we determine that they have that right, that we were privileged, we were granted. Me as a young boy, Lord, but many of us here, and we've responded, we've answered your call to salvation, Lord. How will they hear unless someone clearly articulates it? Lord, we realize in our world today, in our nation, our city, relationship matters. But Lord, it did in your day. That's why you looked up into a tree and you called a man down and said you wanted to go to his house. And you looked into the eyes of a woman caught in the very act of adultery, and you ministered grace, and you told her to stop her sinning and to go on in her forgiveness and live for you. And Lord, I pray for every one of us here, God, that you would help us to see those you bring in our wilderness, in our world. God, bring them to mind right now. Speak names into our hearts as we wait in your presence just a moment. And Lord, I pray that as we activate today, that, Lord, will not only text a word, but, Lord, we will leave here ready to be your voice and to speak your message and to accept the mission that we are called to. It is the human right, Lord. May we embrace it today. May we embrace it today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just a moment longer. Because you may be here today and you say, Jeff, I'm really not serving God in my life. Maybe you know the way. Maybe that right was granted you a long time ago, and yet you've kind of wandered away. Could I invite you to come back? I read Isaiah 53 earlier, and it says of us all, we like sheep, we just go astray, but we can return. And that's what Peter later would write, quoting that very verse, that we return to Jesus as the shepherd and the overseer of our soul. And you could do that today. Is there anyone here today? You say, I need to come to Jesus. I need to come back to Jesus. I want God to give me the right, the privilege, the authority to become his child today. If that's you, would you just put up your hand real quick? Just put it up and put it down quickly. Let me just see it. Anyone here this morning, you say, I want to respond. I want Jesus in my heart and my life. Today, he is speaking to you. I see that hand. You can put it down in the balcony. Anyone else, quickly, you just put up that hand right now. You say, I want God in my life right now. I need him to forgive me of my sins. I need a new beginning. I see that hand. You can put it down. Sir, in the back, God bless you. Anybody else this morning, right now, God is dealing with your heart. Is there anyone else? You put up that hand right now. Oh, I'd love just to welcome you right now into the family of God, to welcome you into the family. Anyone else? You put up that hand right now. Just give you a moment longer, but you sense God is dealing with you. Yes, sir, I see that hand. Anyone else? You can put it down. Anyone else? Oh, it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. Anyone else right now? You just put up that hand. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you right now. This is a God moment. It's a church moment for us, but it's you and God, and he's speaking to you. Anyone else? Just a moment longer. Anyone else? Would you pray with me now? Can we pray this together? I'm going to ask all of us, the whole church, let's just pray these words together. And if you raise your hand, even if you didn't raise your hand, but you say, Jeff, I need to do this, then I'm going to invite you to pray it with us right now. Would you? Just say this, real simple. Just say, oh God, I know that I've sinned and I need your forgiveness. I want to live for you and quit living my way. God, please forgive me and change my life from the inside out. I believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross for my sins. I put my faith in him then, asking you to forgive me and to change me. I may not have all the answers, but God, that's enough. I believe in you. Save me now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Connor, I love hearing you pray with us, man. Do it every week. That's fine. Amen. Aren't you glad Connor prays with us every Sunday here? Amen. Bless you, Connor. Bless you, man. If you prayed that prayer, right in front of you in the pocket, there's a little card of the decision you've made. I'd really encourage you. I think it's a red card, little red banner there. Would you take that out? And if you'd fill that in and just take it back to our Connect counter in the lobby, we'd love to just have record of that. Today was a day that you made a commitment, a change in your life. Let's stand together, if you will. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the mandate. Thank you for the call, Lord. We walk out of here today, Lord, with another sermon outline, Lord. We do it almost every week here. But God, I pray this one will stay in our Bibles. This one will stay in our nightstand, Lord. I pray, God, we will take this and we will live, Lord, what we've heard today. As we leave and walk through these tunnels, Lord, that are out in the lobby, I pray, God, that they would speak to our heart, just in their simplicity today, Lord, that they would speak to our heart, God. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would leave, Lord, with a new, fresh vision of our own life. And as a church, God, let Central make a difference, Lord, in our community, our world. But God, it begins with each one of us in our wilderness, Lord. Help us to lift our voice this week for you. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Have a great day.